All right, the Lord is good. Please, let's open our Bibles. Yeah, today we hope to conclude our teaching on the book of Ecclesiastes. The Lord has blessed us so well over the last few weeks that we have been studying this. And I believe that it has brought a lot of clarity to all of us. This book, like we said at the beginning, I've said again and again, it was quite complex. Or it is quite complex, and for that reason, a lot of people had a wrong interpretation of what was going on, and they began to make statements like Solomon was backsliding when he was writing this. But now we have seen that it actually makes a lot of sense if we get, like American would say, a handle on it, all right? So when we understand how to approach it, the book is actually very instructive. It's one of the best books you've seen in under the Law and the Prophets and the Psalms. This book teaches us a lot. In fact, philosophers should sit down and read the book. If you read our particular translation that we have been recommending, the Good News translation, it calls him this philosopher. That's what they call Solomon here. This is what the philosopher said. Many other Bibles use the word the preacher, but he uses the word the philosopher. Are you getting me? Now, so it's a book that's examining the things about life. Like we said, it's life under the sun. It's not giving you all the details of how spiritual things work. It's telling you that if you sit down on the earth and look from that earthly level, these are the things you will understand concerning life. All the questions people try to raise, people use some of those things to prove that there is no God. That's not true. They say, if there is a God, how come the world is in a mess? Solomon said, don't worry about it. Put away strife. Put away anger. Put away grief from your heart. You get my point? He has seen it also. You are not the first to notice that these things are occurring. So Solomon sat down and went through all of them. And please let me say something again, which I've said many times. One more time, let me say it. Solomon, God gave him the opportunity or the job. How do I say now? What did God give him? To make his life an experiment. God gave him that job to do. So he has gone through many experiments. There's no point you reinventing the wheel, like we say. Are you getting my point here? There's no point you trying to try out the things that Solomon tried out. Because at the end of the day, you will find out the same thing. Are you getting me? You are going to come to the same conclusion. So don't waste your time. He married 700 wives and had 300 concubines. And he said, there is nothing better than for a man to rejoice with the wife, one wife of his youth. Why do you want to try it and see whether it's true or false? It is always true. Are you getting me? It is true. He has experienced it. He said, I checked how to stimulate my body with wine. So why are you sitting out getting drunk to see what it will be like? There's no point. Okay? I said before that if he had cocaine, trust me, he tried it. If he had heroin, he took one or two shots of it to see what it was about. At the end of the day, he said it's all what? Vanity. That is like chasing after the wind. Anything that is promised in there is not there, he was saying. He was saying you cannot even chase the good things of life. They are not worth chasing. Even the good things of life. Money is not worth chasing. A good house is not worth chasing. You don't need to chase any of these things. These things are added to you by God. He said, what do you do? We'll see that this conclusion. So there are things that are not, even though they are good in themselves, if you put in the efforts to get them, like he said, he planted vineyards. Vineyards are not bad. You get my point? He said, but he put so much effort to see whether they will bring satisfaction into his heart. And the fact is that they did not bring anything. It was not worth the effort that he put inside. And when we come back from Makurdi on Sunday, we saw an interesting sight. Nothing strange, just that, someone will say, I looked and I took instruction. And I said, a little slumber, a little sleep, and all of that. So will the poverty come? He was looking at somebody. That's in the book of Proverbs, not Ecclesiastes now. But the same way, if God gives you understanding, you can look at things and take instruction. We're coming from Makurdi. If you've been to Makurdi, that is from Enugu, of course, here, the road is not very good. Some areas are good. Certain areas have failed entirely. They scraped off the asphalt there and just dust that is exposed. All right, they were working on it, they abandoned it. So we find different areas like that, areas that have a lot of potholes, stuff like that, different places. As we're coming back, we got to a particular point. One of those areas that there's no asphalt, they've scraped it off. You know what that means? There's dust. It's not been raining, all right, really, yet. So it's quite dusty. Good enough, the Lord has blessed us a bit, amen? We're inside an air-conditioned car, our windows were all wound up. So we're not feeling so terrible, except that it was rough. Then we looked. Parked there was one of these flatbed trucks, like a Dangote truck, these cement trucks. One was parked beside the road. And we saw two men under the truck. They had their mat on the floor, and they were fast asleep. This was something between 2:30 and 3:30 in the afternoon. They were deeply asleep. We looked at them as we were driving past. With the dust that people were raising, they were sleeping. Other trucks were passing, they were sleeping. Trucks would reach there and blow horn. Pam, 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 pam. They were sleeping. Some people would shout, they were sleeping. And believe me, they would finish sleeping, get up, thank God for sleep, stretch, go back into their truck and continue business. We looked at it and said, any problem you have in life is in your mind. All these problems people complain about, it's in their mind. People tell them that I can't sleep if the AC is not on. Many of you here, you are feeling very guilty. You burnt godly money on diesel. You know, our apostle came to the other day, he said that he's wondering whether he's spoiling his children. I said, what happened? He said, once Nepa goes out, they'll come and wake him up. Daddy, put on the gen. And he's wondering, what have I done to these kids? I remember those days. One of the first things Akindo used to say those days, because my brother did used to stay with me. Once Nepa goes off, just hear, Uncle JG, on Jen. So the earliest things Akindo used to pronounce is as if, I'm even me talking, you know, because I'm the preacher. That's why I'm not busy myself too much. If you quench light, I don't sleep. Unless it's a cold day. And God has really blessed me. The house I have has a door to the balcony. It's always open. So that is, breeze must be blowing. Otherwise, I'll keep on waking up every 15 minutes. Believe me, it's called spoiling. What did I call it? Spoiling. All of us, we don't spoil. So when power now goes, I say, this country is bad. Forget that your grandfather never saw power. And he slept. You know, people, they'll just get up, manufacture problems. Have you seen the houses we built? Tiny, tiny windows. You build house in such a manner, and then you now put sliding window that cuts it into two. You now go inside, of course, let's not forget the burglary proof you put there. The Nepa will now quench like he said, this is what's wrong with this country. There's no current in this country. There's no power in this country. There's no power in this country. You knew there was no power. Why didn't you put big window? Put a landing on top of your house where you can crawl to go and sleep. No, you build the house in such a manner that you must have American power. For you to be comfortable, you not get up, you not be complaining. Daddy, as we're coming back, was Israel, me, and Yinka. We decided that, look, God has blessed us more than we realize. He said, God made men upright, but he sought out many air conditioners. Isn't that your Bible like that? At the end of Ecclesiastes chapter 7, he said, God made men upright, but he sought out many devices. We are the ones complicating our lives. Just wake up in the morning and decide that if your jewelry is not pure gold, everybody is looking at you. Well, nobody knows. It's good to be very happy. You know one thing I like about being a very happy and important man? No matter what you wear, is good.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. If you come to my house now and I'm turning garri in a cup, a bowl with plenty of cold water, and the only thing you can identify apart from the garri is groundnuts. You go out and say, I like Pastor. He's humble. Because it doesn't cross your mind that I could be broke. Honestly, look, one brother sent me a message today, just greeting me. He said, one of the things I taught him is how to just take life the way it is. He said, those days I used to say that Lagos had hundreds of thousands of cars, and I didn't have one of them. He said, you know what it means? I couldn't remember saying this. I said, what it means is that there are hundreds of thousands of cars in Lagos, and none of them is my own. Nothing more than that. He said, why don't you have a car? I used to say, that one I remember. I said, because I don't have the money to buy it. Why else do you see a handsome young man without a car, and you want me to be lying to you? Some of these girls want to be deceived. Man is chasing. He said, why don't you have a car? You are begging for him to lie. Can't you just see the obvious? These things are expensive. You know, I don't understand for people, though. Why don't you have? It is because I don't have the money. If you want me to lie to you, I'll lie to you. No problem. Why I don't have is that, you know, the aggregation of resources that is required by the spiritual manifestation of prosperity, which is coming forth by the manifestation of the word of God, which we're operating on right now, is about to produce a glory that you get confused. You are the one that asked me to lie to you. Don't ask foolish questions, amen? Tell any lady beside you that sings, say, don't ask foolish questions. You're the one begging to be deceived. I not get. Leave her like that. You don't want to marry me, leave me. Go and marry somebody else that has. The Lord is good. That's the reality about it. Brothers, that's what I used to do those days. I realized that many of the problems we have in life, we invented them. That as we're coming back, Israel, Yinka and I looked at it and said, if Yinka said one day, he will just sit down and just tell the Lord, if I ever complain, I'm sorry, that you have blessed me more than I realized. And sometimes you don't look, there are things you are praying about. God said, don't pray about it. I've solved the problem already. I'm telling you. There are those that say, I need a second car so my wife and I can move around. Right now, the only one we have, we can't really move around easily. Fine. It doesn't look like a bad thing. So how much you need for that second car? He said, I need to go be this same one, 3.5 million. Okay, fine. God said, let's sit down here. If you start calling taxi anytime you want to go out, when the other car is not available, it will take you 10 years to finish spending that 3.5 million. And you won't have to produce that they go. Simple wisdom will say, yeah, every day, have allowance for calling taxi and keke. If there's no pride in your life, you realize you don't have a problem. He said, God made men upright. They sought out what? Many devices. I went through that trying to just talk about things that we just create ourselves. And that was initiated by the two men we saw on the road, sleeping soundly. In the hot sun, under a flatbed truck, with dust around them, they were not waking up. They were sleeping soundly. God has given them gladness in their hearts. That's what Solomon has been teaching us. And we have been learning it. That's what this book is about. All right, so we are concluding today. We stopped in the book of, in chapter 12, actually. But let's just start the reading again from the end of 11. I remember I said last time that if I was dividing the scriptures, the book into chapters and verses, I will break 11 at the end of 8 and start 12 at the beginning of 9. That's verse 9. So for that reason, I'm going to just back up slightly so we can get it in context. Please don't forget what I said last time. In chapter 11, he said, cast your bread upon many waters. What does that mean? Use your gifts constantly. You don't know one day to produce, but you don't know how it will. If you abandon it, it's like a tree that falls in a particular direction and it stays there. Now, from verse 9. Now, verse 9, please listen to this. Let me just go by it again. That's where the conclusion of everything began from. This is like the summary. That is the deduction. Exactly. This is the deduction, the result of all the analysis we've been doing all this while. This is the result of it. He said, rejoice, young man, during your childhood. I'm reading New American Standard now. I'll get back to the good news if necessary afterwards. And let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood. And follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. Yet know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. So remove grief and anger from your heart and put away pain from your body. Because childhood and the prime of life are fleeting. That is, you don't have so much time. So refuse to worry. New Living Translation says, focus on the things that God said you should be doing, what he has put in your hands to do today. Focus on them. Don't let the anger you are having against the federal government stop you from starting your business. Don't let the annoyance you have against the ruling party, APC, stop, you know, keep you occupied every time. Don't sit down there and be angry that you applied for, you bidded for a job and you lost it. Put away those things from your heart. Like I said last time, when people don't do it, they make very wrong and rash decisions. I've seen a man before, they was working somewhere, all right? No, I didn't know, I have not seen him, I heard of him. And let me just say something quickly. Can I drop it? Remember we said Solomon was dropping small, small words of wisdom. Let me just drop one of them. If you are walking somewhere and they annoy you, don't resign while you are angry. Can I drop that one for you?
Yes, sir.
If you are walking somewhere and they annoy you, don't resign while you are angry. I've seen people do it again and again, and I've not seen any one of them by it benefited. They tell one of my sisters those days, they gave her a query in the office, she answered it, they put her on suspension for 2 weeks, so she resigned. I said, you know what you have done? You have proven that you cannot be corrected. I said, all you have done is that you have shown me that you can't be corrected. I said, next time, what should I have done? It's just 2 weeks or 1 month. I said, serve out the suspension. Come back to work. Even if you are tired of the job, work for another 1 month. Then explain to them, I'll be leaving. Then give them another 1 month's notice and walk away gently. Don't just sit down there and say, what is it? What was it that happened? You are the judge. You decide that their judgment is wrong. There are little things that people do, and we've said this one before, that we'll get back to it now in a moment, is all those little things that Solomon said God will bring you to judgment for later. There are not somebody in the office, just resigns. A story I've heard of a man who was working for one of these big construction companies. One day, the space above him, the rank above him became vacant, and he thought they were going to promote him into that position. Unfortunately for him, it's not his father's company. Yeah, that's a matter. If it doesn't belong to you, you can't force anybody to promote you into anything. If you want to be promoted by force, go and start your own company and promote yourself. If it doesn't belong to you, no matter how much you think you are qualified for it, it's not compulsory that I promote you into the place. They said that they now brought one man, that is a foreigner or something. It's a multinational, well, at least it's a big company, but based in Nigeria. They now brought another person from somewhere who he did not know and put the man in that position. Let me make the story more interesting. Maybe that man was junior to him from where he's coming from. They put him in that position and he was so angry. What is it? He looked at it and just resigned. And please, let me just tell you something. Don't threaten anybody with your resignation. They may take you serious. I'm just warning you now. I've seen people threaten. I would just, look, I'm resigning. And they expect them to call and say, why are you resigning? Believe me, you are the one that thinks you're important. They don't think so. There are two people waiting for your job. The MD has been looking at you and said, like, this boy, I will soon sack him. You now get up and threaten resignation. Of course, the man, he gladly accepts. Say, oh, you are resigning. Oh, it's so nice of you in his mind. Accept your resignation, you are there. Expect him to negotiate. He's not planning to negotiate. He wants you to go anyway. So this man, he resigned like that and never got another job and did not get a new, he couldn't start a business. In his anger, he walked away from a company that was paying him where he was comfortable until he started living in an uncompleted building, using wrapper and plywood to hold. Yes, there was nowhere else to go. Was the worst mistake of his life? He thought the company belonged to him and they should promote him to where he thinks he deserves. And if you go and find out why they did not give him the job, you will find that he was not capable. You know, we tend to overrate ourselves. Yeah. If they annoy you in a place, you don't resign while you are angry. You wait for your temper to cool down first. You get my point?
Yes, sir.
When everything has calmed down, you now reassess, do I really want to keep on working here? If the answer is yes, continue. If the answer is no, then you now take time, leave on a good note. I found one of the major problems with people is that they don't like to be corrected. Let me not go there. Let me see what our message for today. Now, why did I go into that? Well, once I don't know, like that, maybe I'm helping somebody. All right, the note is good. We're reading somewhere, right? Where were we? Okay, yes, I remember now. So we're talking about removing, yes. Anger, yes. That's why I went into that. Okay, so I said, so remove grief and anger from your heart, and put away pain from your body, because childhood and the prime of life are fleeting. Yes, I remember why I went to that now. I was trying to say that we should remove grief and anger. Now, so Solomon was summarizing everything. Continuation of this is where we stopped. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come, and the years draw near when you will say, I have no delight in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened, and clouds return after the rain. In the day that the watchmen on the house tremble, and mighty men stoop, the grandly ones stand idle because they are few, and those who look through the windows grow dim, and the doors of the street are shut as the sound of the grinding mill is low. And one will arise at the sound of the bird, and all the daughters of song will sing softly. Now, please, let me just finish reading this portion, because it's just one thing he was saying in everything from verse 2 to verse 7. Verses 6 and 7, thereabout. We'll read in a simpler translation, but let's take the literal one first, all right? So I'm in verse 5. He said, furthermore, men are afraid of a high place. That is, at a time when men are afraid of a high place and of terrors on the road, the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags himself along, and the carpetberry is ineffective. So man goes to his eternal home while mourners go about in the street. Remember him before the silver cord is broken, and the golden bowl is crushed, and the pitcher by the well is shattered, and the wheel at the cistern is crushed. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. He said, vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. That's where the discussion ends. We'll now read the portion afterwards in a moment. But let's just explain this one briefly. So we've been saying, Solomon, after looking at all of these things, he said, what is the conclusion? Life has stages. There's a stage of being a young man, which applies to women also. He was saying in that period, exercise your energy. Now let's apply it to Christianity. In doing what is right. He said, know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. If I may highlight what he said in that verse 9. He said, follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. Now what he was saying is that, no, I said that last time. Do things that you know, let me use his own words, things that you enjoy doing. Now, the difference between a righteous person and an evil person is where their enjoyment is. I don't know whether you're getting my point here. That is the difference between a righteous person and an evil person. I want you to understand that. Solomon was saying, after looking at life, he said nothing really in itself is worth pursuing. So what is the summary? He said, live life moment by moment. And how do you do it? Do what you enjoy. Enjoy what you do, what you are doing. Did you hear that?
Yes, sir.
Do what you enjoy and enjoy what you are doing. Don't harass yourself that I must make 50 million before I'm 35. I must finish my house before I'm 40. I must have gone around the whole world before I am 50. I must have my wedding in the best auditorium in Enugu. And I must have my honeymoon in Tahiti. That's what my wife used to tell me those days. Tahiti, yes. My wife said she wanted us to go to Tahiti. And she was just, what she meant was that my husband, when we sleep, we shall dream of Tahiti. Because she knew that in reality, this nigga is taking nobody to Tahiti. I did not even know where Tahiti was. Of course, she used to laugh about it. When she knew Tahiti, she read it in a magazine. Tahiti is one of these islands where people just go to enjoy themselves, all right? So he said, don't pursue those things. He said, what do you do? Each moment, do what you know. Now, let's put Christianity to it. Do what you know is right. Do what you enjoy, and enjoy what you are doing. He said, what God will bring later is not within your control. That whatever comes later is a decision that God makes. Now, bear that in mind. Now, I was saying earlier that the difference between a good person and an evil person is what they enjoy. For example, Solomon said in the book of Proverbs, he said, doing folly is fun to a fool. I don't know whether you're getting that point. I mean, all you need to do is check is how children, young people behave sometimes. Campus boys, they do things that when they look back as older, they say, why did we do that? And they enjoyed it that time. And some of the ones we see in Western world, people will just sit down, carry stones, start breaking neighbors' glasses. Then when they see here police is coming, they disappear. It's a rush for them, you know, adrenaline rush. There's one I read of young boys in America. They're going to be pushing cow over, you know, like all this. Yeah, that, and it's fun. What is their job? At night, they sneak on cattle and tackle it one way and push a whole malu over. And they go home to go and brag on how many malus were you able to flip. Yeah. There are those who chase women. In fact, I am convinced 90% of men that go around chasing women is for bragging rights. It's not possible to gain anything from it. It's not possible. It's just bragging rights. 9 out of 10. So that's what I'm talking about. What do you enjoy? What one person enjoys and what the other person enjoys is the difference between one person and the other. It's not just what they do. So when Solomon said, do what you enjoy doing, for the Christian, he said, we've talked about it, love righteousness. And please, let's say it like this again. Do godliness with contentment. Paul wrote to Timothy. He said, godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. Now, what does that mean? Once you've done godliness, enjoy the fact that you have done what is godly. You must know what to take pride in. You apply for a job, they say bribe, you will not bribe, you lose it. You now come to church to testify, praise the Lord, there was a contract for 500 million, we're supposed to do this job here and there, and if that contract had clicked, I would have been able to go home at the end of the day, after doing all the job and everything, with nothing less than 40 million as my own profit. Praise God, and of course everybody's warming up to hear hallelujah, how it worked out. And then we bidded, we went for the interview, and then finally somebody came to the side and said that I needed to beef it up a bit with 100 million so that the board members can share it. And then I refused. And then the result just came out today, brethren, I didn't get the contract. Nobody's waiting, where's the testimony? Believe me, it is a testimony.
Yes.
Many times we don't know what God is judging. That you were willing to walk away. Because you know you will have done it well. We could have rationalized all kinds of rationalizations. But you said, no, I have made up my mind. I will not be one of the people that's pushing forward corruption in the country. That's your testimony. Brethren, I just want you to know. I just lost a 500 million naira or 600 million naira contract because I said I'm not giving anybody any kickback. The church should learn to rejoice in that. The church should. What is the testimony? That somebody can turn his back and say, I will not defile myself with all the, you know, all the king's meat. That's one thing Christians must learn to pride themselves in. That is the testimony. Our testimony will often end it only with, so after that, they now called me and said, oh, we realize you are the best. That's a good testimony. But whether they say it or not, it doesn't matter. What matters is that we rejoice in that you saw money and you could not be tempted by it. If I'm your pastor, I will be very, very proud. Say, the kind of men I teach, the kind of women that listen to me, you can't tempt them with money.
Yeah.
And you expect the person to go down and drive away in a brand new Prado because he has so much money, that one didn't matter. No. He comes down, stops an Okada, stops a keke. He doesn't have yet. But he has understood the man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. That is real Christian testimony. We must learn to rejoice. Please, that's very important. Let's learn to rejoice in the doing of good. I heard a woman teaching once in a church. All right, saw a clip of the video. And she said that Christians should stop waiting for God to bless them because they did rightly. He said, right doing is your nature. You have done nothing special. That get used to it. Don't do something right. Now go home and go and be praying. Say, Lord, you saw how I did though. You will bless me. Say, okay, what were you planning to do before? Because I said to the Lord, Lord, I checked. I breathed throughout today. And my heart was beating and I drank water. Won't you bless me? And God is going to wonder. You were breathing and your heart was beating. And you drank water. Okay, let's do it like this. Tomorrow, don't do any of the above. And let's see how it will affect me. Listen, that's Christianity we are talking about. We've gotten so used to this, always bragging on the results of righteousness. Listen, many times righteousness will get you beheaded. Righteousness will get you fired. Righteousness will make you not get a contract. Your friends will make 100 million, you won't get 10,000. And many people, before God can take them to where he wants to take them to, they must pass through that test too, and they must pass it. Before they can overcome Satan, they must not love their lives, even when faced with death. Look, please go and read my book, Grace to Prosper. Look for that chapter, The Vow of Poverty. Until you have taken the vow of poverty, you cannot prosper effectively. What am I by vow of poverty? That is, you are as happy when you had little as you can ever be. So even though they gave you the highest amount on this earth today, of course you're excited for 5 seconds. After that, you're back to your joy level, which God gave you in Christ. The people that God really wants to bless, somebody comes to them and says, I got a job, and they are paying me 5,000 naira a month. They say, oh, praise God, now you are productive, you are blessing somebody, and you can buy some food to eat, amen. And that person says, I got a job, they are paying 5 million a month. He will say the same thing. He won't jump at one and feel bad at another. That's the person who's really going far in life. You know, one day, very funny joke, my friend Pastor Corey, very interesting fellow, we came for our convention, and people, you know, we're introducing ourselves. Generally, those that you come for, we don't do that anymore, because we're very many now, all right, those early days. So you come for, introduce yourself, when did you graduate, what faculty were you in, when were you in the fellowship, and then what do you do now? So then, a lot of students were attend, and the proportion of students to graduate was a bit like more of the students than the graduates that will come for the convention. So they formed a larger population of people. Somebody will come up and say, my name is so-and-so, I finished so-and-so year, I work for MTN. And you will see they clap all over the hall. We erupt. Of course, we have brands that work everywhere. They work in banks, and the telecom companies, oil companies, all kinds of things. Anytime those guys that come from banks, telecoms, and the oil companies, we introduce them and say, oh, you will see plenty clap. So when it was Pastor Corey's turn, he said, I have noticed that when people say they work in MTN, people clap. When they say we work in an oil company, you people clap. Before I tell you what I do, I need to collect my clap. So he stood there, said, everybody clap. So we all clap for him. He said, hey. He now introduced himself and said he's a founding pastor of Love Revival Assembly in Sokoto. Whether you clap or not is your problem. He has collected his clap. The Lord is good. Now what am I going to say here? Listen. Like I was saying, it is what we enjoy. And that's why you have to discipline yourself to enjoy. And it's a training. There are many things people enjoy, I don't enjoy. I don't enjoy football. I keep on saying it sounds like a joke, but it's a matter of fact. It has happened before. I pay DSTV money. Many times they are watched, everybody's gathering, hey, El Clasico. I had a big 42-inch, LCD TV. And they are, you know, I don't notice. I can get up, and my wife will say, food is ready, and I'll go down, and I'll go and eat, and I'll forget it. I'm serious. I'm not kidding. It's happened many times. That is, the TV is there, big. I've paid subscription, they are showing it. I don't remember to watch it. And I don't feel bad afterwards, though. I don't feel bad afterwards. I used to watch football before. What happened was, I realized that I couldn't stand when my team would be losing. So I said, in the interest of long life and the ministry of God, I stopped. I'm not kidding. I've never measured my blood pressure while watching a match, but I could feel my body temperature. It used to rise. So I said, why would I kill myself? Because 22 people who are overpaid. You know how much they pay those boys? And you know, it was so effective that now I don't miss it at all. Are you getting my point? What am I saying? We can learn to enjoy what is right to do. That's it. Why men sit down and drink beer till tomorrow, I don't understand. So one day I was in my office, I told one of my doctors, I said, that because we were just talking, one guy says he drinks 2 bottles, one says I drink once in a week. I said, this beer thing, I don't understand you guys, yeah. I said, I've tried it a number of times. I'm not trying to drink. I'm just trying to find out why men gather and do this thing. Finally, he now gave me an answer which satisfied me finally. He said, Chief, it's a taste you learn. You never learned it. Did you hear that? It was one that finally settled it for me. He said, it's a taste you should have learned when you were young. Now, you are too old to learn it. Forget it. That's what he was saying, in effect. So he said to me, he said, it's something you learn. He said, essentially, you didn't learn it at the period that people get into it. So it's too late for you now. I said, no, it's not, I'm not trying to drink. I'm just been wondering why Nigerian breweries make so much money. You understand? Now, what I'm going to say, we can learn. That's what I'm saying. You make up your mind. People tell me that, I don't enjoy reading. I'll talk about one of these after this. How can you not enjoy reading if you want to prosper as a Christian? That's why they are confusing you. That's why they tell you to come and sow a seed for the sin of three generations, and you'll be there. That's why they'll come and say, a man will go and use familiar spirit or WhatsApp spirit. You know, there are two. You can use WhatsApp spirit and familiar spirit to give you the number of your car. Those of you who came after me, I didn't see the car you brought, right? There are two ways I can see it. I can have, Udechukwu could be out there. You send me a message, say, Oga, I just saw one latest model X5. The person is inside here. You just give me the number, and I'll just be praying. Kolega Shagaba. And in my spirit, I see. It's not my spirit. It's WhatsApp that has dropped it. You won't know my guy is there. And the owner, the Lord said, you will put this on the altar for the sin of two generations and five generations to come. That your children might prosper, put it on the altar. Now, the problem is that because you refuse to read, your fear will catch you. You bring your car, drop it at the altar. I'll now pray one line prayer for you. You know? I say, I see spirits around you. And of course, you say, I'm a man of God. Nobody be deceiving you with familiar spirits and technological spirits. They use technology. All your life stories on Facebook. You don't leave Facebook alone. I can close my eyes and be seeing word of knowledge about your life. You wrote it by yourself on Facebook. What am I saying? You can't tell me you don't like reading. You learn to read. I read a book many years ago, The Leader and His Reading, by Oswald Sanders, when I became a leader in my campus fellowship. Spiritual Leadership. A chapter inside is The Leader and His Reading. I read that book. That was around 1989, thereabout. And that, since then, my life has not been the same. I made up my mind to like reading. Are you getting my point here?
Yes, sir.
Please, let me not sit on that one alone. So we can determine what we want to enjoy. And one of the things you see here, Solomon said something. Look at it. He said, follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. There is something striking about that. Follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. It tells me something. It is where you lock your eyes on. The literal translation says, follow the sight of your eyes. To say the desires is an application. The literal Hebrew says, follow the sight of your eyes. It is what you fix your eyes on that your desires follow. Please read my book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. I describe that thing there. If you fix your eyes on something, your desires will follow. Have you seen, you know, sometimes I see the young boys dress. And I'm wondering that, are you all right? You know, like this sagging spirit, when the sagging spirit arrived, I kept on thinking, how can a person get up and sag? You know what they call sagging now? You're looking like you haven't seen it before. Women used to sag. I think they've stopped now. They haven't didn't last long. They've stopped. Did they still sag? You wouldn't know. The first time I saw a woman sagging, I felt like, then bikes were still allowed in Enugu. I felt like stopping the bike to tell the girl, sister, he's showing. But of course, the bike on this representation, just this Independence Road, Besala Road, the thing passed me. This girl, why does she not wear something that covers her properly when she sits down, you know? I was thinking about it. Until next day, I saw a newspaper, and I opened it, and there's this one of these actresses, and she posed for a shot, exactly like the girl I saw on the bike. And I realized that girl, it was not a mistake. Her whole pata was hanging like this. So they put the trouser down, they put the pata up, and they're walking on the road. One day my wife showed my daughter two pictures of a mad person, totally mad lunatic on the road, and a young woman who was dressed like she was mad. So my wife says, what do you think? My daughter said, this man is mad. I said, what about this girl? She said, she's not feeling well. Very correct. Now, the point is that why do people do like that? It's what they are focused on. You know, that's what I'm talking about. That's why he said, follow the sight of your eyes. But listen, he said, but know one thing for sure, that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. What does that mean? Where God is taking you to later in life is determined by the things you are doing now. If you go and read Psalm 75, he said, God is judge. He brings down one and lifts up another. That is the meaning of God will bring you to judgment for all these things. That's why he now said, so remove grief and anger from your heart and put away pain from your body, because childhood and the prime of life are fleeting. You don't have the time. Focus on doing what is right. That is the application for us believers. Put your eyes on what is good. Let your role models be people that are godly. Because when you focus on them, that's what you want to be like. The Lord is good. And I said, remember also your creator in the days of your youth. I was saying that earlier. So the early days of your life is when God is putting things together that he's using to determine where you will be later in life. Please read my book again. I want to recommend it. Choices, Key to Destiny. Now, he said, now if you read from, we read a particular portion earlier, from verses 2 of chapter 12 to 7. Remember your creator before you become old. That's what he was saying. He said, from that verse 2 to that verse 7, he was describing what old age is like. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, we'll just quickly rush through that in another simpler translation to see how they interpreted it to let us know what he was saying. So let me read Good News Bible to get an easy translation out, to bring out the meaning, the application that men have been able to explain from it. Now, let's just read from verse what? Which verse now? All right, he said, so remember your creator when you are still young, before those dismal days and years come when you will say, I don't enjoy life. Now notice this, that is when the sun of the light, of the light of the sun, the moon, the stars will grow dim for you, and the rain clouds will never pass away. Then your arms that have protected you will tremble, and your legs, now strong, will grow weak. Your teeth will be too few to chew your food, and your eyes too dim to see clearly. Your ears will be deaf to the noise of the street. You will barely be able to hear the mill as it grinds or music as it plays. But even the song of a bird will wake you up from sleep. You will be afraid of high places and walking will be dangerous. Your hair will turn white. You will hardly be able to drag yourself along. And all your desire will be gone. Literally in Hebrew, he said it the other way we read it. He said that instead of teeth, he said the grinding ones stand idle because they are few. That's what you hear, see here, that said the teeth are few. Instead of your legs, a place like verse 4, said the doors on the streets are short as the sound of the grinding mill is low. That's literal Hebrew. But this one says in that verse 4 that your ears will be deaf to the noise of the street. You will barely be able to hear the mill as it grinds, or music as it plays. So that is the interpretation of it. That's why we're reading it here. But in summary, he was describing the life of an aged person who no longer has a full use of the body. The eyes are not working well. You understand that when he talked about people, the sight of your eyes, talking about those who are inside, that they can't see clearly through it. He was talking about you being able to see through your eyes. So that's why I just wanted to rush through that. There, Solomon was saying, remember your creator before your old age. That it is what you are doing as a young man, that is what God is using to determine the quality of your life. Now, because many people, what happens is that at that time, at that old age, is when they start thinking, okay, let's start thinking about God. Are you getting my point? Solomon said, no, that's not the right time. The best time to start thinking about the Lord is when you still have your energy. That is summary. That's what he was saying. He now summarized everything. And of course, he now said, let me just go back to reading. So that I just wanted to bring that one out. Now he said, verse 6, remember him before the silver cord is broken and the golden bowl is crushed. He was talking about death here. Remember your creator before you finally die. And the pitcher by the well is shattered and the wheel at the cistern is crushed. That's verse 6 in New American Standard. Then the dust will return to the earth and the spirit will return to God who gave it. That's a summary of what Solomon was saying. This is a summary of his observations. Now, his conclusion, we will now come to it. Verse 9. Now, from verse 9, this is just a comment, not on the words of Solomon, but on the person of Solomon. He said, in addition to being wise, the preacher also taught the people knowledge, and he pondered and searched out and arranged many proverbs. The preacher sought to find delightful words and to write words of truth correctly. So you see, this was not a backsliding man. Are you getting my point? No. Listen, if you go and read, I think 1 Kings chapter 4, you will see that, actually, let me just tell you what this means. Solomon used to have, you know, we gather now in church, okay, like you are here now listening to me. Solomon used to preach. He used to. Maybe not preaching the way we are preaching now, but he used to sit down and just speak words of wisdom. And people literally used to gather in halls to listen to Solomon. Solomon would take wisdom that people understood. He would bring it, okay, tomorrow we're analyzing the wisdom of the birds, whatever it is. He would gather all the wisdom from far and near, analyze them in the light of the wisdom that God has given him. Those were the things that the Queen of Sheba saw and heard, and she was humbled. And that's what the Bible is writing here. It says, so this preacher also taught the people knowledge, and he pondered, searched out, and arranged many proverbs. He wrote a lot of materials. The Bible says that, in verse 10, he sought to find delightful words and write words of truth correctly. Let's not talk much about verse 11. The words of the wise men are like goads, and masters of these collections are like well-driven nails. Let me read that in a simple translation. The words of the wise are like cattle prods, painful but helpful. Their collected sayings are like a nail-studded stick with which a shepherd drives the sheep, that the wisdom guides your life. Now, this is where Solomon was now concluding finally. But beyond this, he says, my son, be warned. The writing of many books is endless, and excessive devotion to books is wearing to the soul. Please, I don't want to say anything about it so as to save my time, because I want to get to verse 13. Now, we've been talking for how many weeks now? This is the 11th day of this, right? Israel? Yes, 11. This one was 10. The last one was 10. Yet, everything we have been saying comes to one single line of conclusion. We have it broken down to 12 chapters here. This is the conclusion of everything. The conclusion when all has been heard is, can we read it together? Fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. Let's stop here. He said, fear God, keep his commandments. I like King James here. He said, this is the whole duty of man. Please, I'll speak on that and I will close it. Verse 14, he said, for God will bring every act to judgment. Not every plan, it's every act. Not every ambition, but what? Every act. God will bring every act to judgment. Everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. Before I go to verse 13, let me sit on verse 14. Because it ties well to what we said earlier. Everything we do, believe me, that is what God is gathering and using to judge our lives. You know, for a long time, when he said God will bring every act to judgment, then he said everything which is hidden. For a long time, I kept on wondering, why did he keep on emphasizing what is hidden? Is it only that which is hidden that God will bring to judgment? Will he not bring that which is in the open? So I used to read it like this. God will bring everything to judgment, even that which is hidden. That was my reading. But then you keep searching. Then finally I understood why I wrote it like this. You know, he said in Jeremiah, I, the Lord, I do what? I search the heart. I test the mind. What God judges is not the act itself. It is a hidden motivation behind everything that somebody does. And that's what Solomon meant when he said, even that which is what? Hidden. He said, every act that is hidden. Let me say it again. I like to, when I get there, I enjoy it. That is why, if you like, give money. God doesn't judge the giving of money. What does he judge? The motive. I'm a pastor, amen? I will judge the fact. Yeah, you get my point. I mean, this brother is very generous. Very, very generous. But I can't see your motive. What God judges, let me just emphasize it, is what? The motive. What is inside the heart? He said, I, the Lord, I test the heart, I search the mind, before I recompense anyone for the work of his hands. But the point is that he said every act will be brought to judgment. That is the basis upon which God decides who is lifting up and who is bringing low. So Solomon said, for that reason, what should you do? Fear God. Everything you want to do, from the bottom of your heart, ask yourself, how will the Lord feel about this? That's what it means to fear God. Don't fear your boss. Don't fear your wife. Don't fear your husband. Don't fear, like one of my friends would say, poverty. Well, not a friendly. Those is used to say the thing he feared the most in life is poverty. And of course, it showed. Because he was a very good Catholic young man. As a student, as a house officer. As a youth copper, he became a specialist abortion doctor. That's, look, it's predictable. Why? He feared poverty. So when he looked and listened, life was rough that time. The only way he could get easy money, and they kept on telling him, this is easy money. So he became the professional. And when they were talking, he said when he was a house officer, he wouldn't do this. But he told us another time that the thing he feared the most in life, poverty. Like I said, God said, don't fear your boss. You fear your boss because he might sack you. So you do eye service. And when you do eye service, God now judges you. Can you see what I'm saying? Your boss loves you. He promotes you. God judges you. He demotes you. Why? Because he judges what the eyes can see. He judges that which is what? Hidden. Let's summarize everything. Now, I've taught this. Many people don't like it. But this is after many years of preaching and I'm being a Christian. All right? God doesn't want you to be ambitious. He doesn't have any plan, a problem with desires. Anybody can have a desire. You can desire that you want to drive a Lamborghini to your bathroom. That's your problem. He doesn't have any problem with it. You can desire that you want to be American president even though you were born in Nigeria. I've seen people who desire such things. Okay? You can desire anything. That is your problem. But what do you talk about ambition? What's the difference between ambition and desire? I'll tell you. Ambition is when you start strategizing deliberately to a mission that you have created by yourself. That's ambition. That's what I mean by ambition. Ambition is that you make up your mind, I must rise in this mission. Assume you're a pastor in a big denomination. You get to my point. And then you start doing eye service for your senior pastor, your regional pastor, so he can promote you and put in a good branch. That is ambition. If I sit in my house and I say, listen, I'd like to put the headquarters of Kingdom World Ministries in Los Angeles. It's desire. God just be looking at me. Just leave it there. If you think about it more than that, that's when problem will start. But as long as I just think about it, just simply, then I come here, I teach all the time. I don't deny the radio stations where we are broadcasting of money because I'm trying to pay rent in Atlanta. David said something. He said, my eye is not hot, neither is my heart proud. He said, I have not involved myself in matters too difficult for me. When you start strategizing to put yourself in a particular position in life, that's what we call ambition. And I'm saying to you today, as believers, God doesn't want ambitious people. He can't use them. Listen, as a person of faith, God wants to arrange your life, and this is what he does. He opens doors and he tells you to step inside. He doesn't want you knocking doors down. How do you knock doors down? It's very simple. When you start calling people, calling, see me tomorrow, see me another day, see me, you are trying to see people, and one man is trying to connect with another person, you are knocking doors down. If you have to be begging people to do you a favor, you are knocking doors down. When God wants to bless you, the people that you are begging to do you a favor, they will offer their favor. If they are not offering it, God is not blessing you. If you have to go to a man's office and be telling a story of who you are, better go back home. Good afternoon, sir. Are you forgetting me? I'm your you know that your cousin that you used to live together? Yes, I'm the son of that woman that was living next door that used to give the two of you food that time when people used to come to our house. Once you start telling stories, you are not blessed. And the man is looking and saying, is that so? Okay, so what can I do for you? I saw the advert of your company. I was saying whether you could help me. Just know that you are a sinner. Once you go to a place to be telling stories so you can get favor, you are not blessed. These are practical things for Christians. Christianity is the ability to allow God to open your doors. Once people are saying, okay, come, I will help you. You go here, you go there. You are going up and down. Once you are calling too many people, they are giving you appointments, they are disappointing you. God has not opened that door. God has not opened that door. does that God, listen, he said, the kingdom of God is like a seed that a man plants in the ground. He said, a man goes to sleep and he goes and he wakes up. He does that, if you re-amplify it, every day. He said, the earth by itself produces. First the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. Now listen to this. He said, when, like in James, when the crop permits, he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. When the crop permits, what does it mean when the crop permits, he puts in the sickle? It means that when the grain is mature, he sees the maturity. He can see now. This is how I interpret it. It's when you want to pluck a fruit. If it's not ripe, it's difficult to take it off the stalk. You know that? You will hold it, pull it. The whole tree will be following you. When we're young, we'll be stoning mango. Stone the mango from that. I've seen mangoes shatter on the tree. They won't come down. You know, we had boys who could aim in secondary school. My school had a lot of mango trees. So mango season, of course, school, so the mango, as plenty as it is, students are plentier than a mango. So the ones that came down, they've gone. So the ones on top will not start stoning. Will stone mangoes, some of them will break. A stone will hit a mango, bam, you see it break. It won't come down. Yet, I still remember very well, one particular day, that these mangoes we have been looking at, it started raining. And the rain was blowing the tree. And all of us waited at the edge of our class, waiting for the first one to come down. Because when they arrive, they will come down. Yes. Do you get my point?
Yes.
When the crop permits, that means, it doesn't mean you don't do anything. It just means you put in a little effort and the door opens. That's what we want to say, the crop permits. That's what we want to say, the crop permits. Let me go back to what I'm saying. God doesn't want ambitious Christians. He wants faithful believers.
Yeah.
What did I say he wants?
Faithful believers.
Faithful. That is, everything he gives them to do, they do it well with a right motive. You know, I saw a video the other day, and it was a woman talking to other women that they should be doing things that they are doing even though they are not being recognized. Now, but there was one part of it that struck me. And the woman was describing the building of cathedrals in old Europe. And those cathedrals, till now, they are sights to behold. Magnificent buildings. These were built hundreds of years ago. Till today, they are sights to behold. One of those days, she said, one man was carving something into a pillar. You know, he's an artist. So he was carving something into a pillar. Somebody said, why are you bothering? That part of the pillar was going to be covered by the roof. That nobody's ever going to see it. The man answered, but God will always see it. So he did a perfect art job and they roofed a building over it. That struck me. I told my wife, even my singlet tears, I don't go wear them again. Why? Because God is looking at it. You know, normally if you're singlet tears, who will see them through the black fine cloth here? Yeah, put that on top. So I did a guy looking sharp. But if you remove that cloth, you go see the whole thing. I told my wife, no. Now, I'm talking about how God reasons, all right? What God wants is faithful people who do things as if that is, they do this, their hearts. They know God is seeing their heart. He's not seeing their actions, first of all. He's seeing their heart. This boy that's been so nice, is it because of guys around? He sees it. That's what I mean by God wants faithful people who will do what is right, whether the boss sees or he doesn't. Let me give you facts. God is the one that lifts people up. I always like to tell stories like our current vice president. All of us saw it. Do you know, look, let's look at Nigeria over the last five heads of states we have had in Nigeria. Should we quickly remind ourselves of the stories of how they became head of state? Which one of them schemed it? Let's start with our former president. Okay, let's start with Abdul Salami. Let's start from there. How did Abdul Salami become the head of state? Abacha dropped dead. Till now, we don't know who killed him. Some say he chopped apple. Have you not eaten apple? Are you dead? We don't know what happened. Somebody said he poisoned his apple. Hey, look, all of these are speculations. We don't know what happened. One thing we know is that an angel of death visited. and they took him away. But then he died. Let's make a long story short. Just by the way, by a week or two, just a few weeks before that, I preached and I told brethren, stop cursing the head of state. If God is tired of him, he will remove him. The following month, the Lord was tired and he removed him. Absalom became head of state. I read Marwa's testimony. Marwa had to go and beg him to take the position. So they were on the flight back from Abacha's burial. And he got up and went and met him because Marwa had a problem with Ishaya. What's the name of that? Ishaya? Ishaya Bami. And he knew that, and the next person, the chief of army staff, was Ishaya Bami. And the guy was afraid, say, ah. And he knew that Absalom was not that type of person. The guy didn't like all these political things. So that's when we went to beg him and say, oh God, please take the job. It's important to stabilize the polity. He talked and talked. Absalom said, okay, let's make a long story. Absalom took the job. And instantly from day one, he gave date that he's leaving. Obviously, the man, you know, God knows how he arranges things. He put a man there that wanted to go. They did all sorts of consultations. Obasanjo was released from prison. Remember the story?
Yeah.
And then he went and met him and said, you are one person that can calm the West. Because, you know, the way, you remember the story of June 12th?
Yes.
Abiola was denied June 12th. Now he's dead. Because, you know, he died after that. Now, Abiola is dead. The only way to calm OPC down is to give the next, you know, the position to somebody from the West. Shoneko had been kicked out of office. You know, remember the whole story. So they, listen, that's what I'm talking about. Absalom did not plan to be head of state. Obasanjo did not plan to be head of state. He became head of state. Do I need to tell you about Yaradua? I don't need to. Oga Obasanjo decided unilaterally, personally by himself. That one became head of state. You know how, because we all know the story of our time is going. You know it also, how Jonathan came into power. Let's not go over it. When he left. Now, what about our current president? You say, but he contested. Yes, he contested 3 times. The third time, he said, I'm not doing it again. He said it openly. He said, if I don't win this one, I'm not coming back. And he knew his reasons. Now, we are seeing the reasons. The fourth time, we know, let's not mention names, because we are recording. We know the people that went and begged him. Say, okay, you don't need to do anything. Just sign this form. We'll make you president. He campaigned a total of 1 hour. All the waka up and down. The total amount of speech he gave put together was not up to 60 minutes. He said, I'll stay today. Do I need to tell you of how his vice president became vice president? I don't need to bore you with the story. A man who became vice president only because the president said to Tinubu, I need one, a young person, vibrant, who does not steal. That's all he wanted. He must be young. He must be able to do the job in case I die suddenly. He told them. And I don't want a man that steals. And of course, Nigerian balance of power, he had to be a Christian. They called the man from his house, say, come. He had not been in politics for some time. Come back. You'll be the running mate. And there's one man that Nigerians trust. You've noticed last time he was acting.
Yes.
All the jokes about him was very funny. One said, Oga, the 3 Ghana must go, you gave me to share. We have opened it to not only Bible and tracts, the inside. No, that is a sign that people trust him. You didn't see that joke? But what am I saying? I just use that as an example to let you know that you can't plan it. Listen to me. I'm saying it from the bottom of my heart. You cannot plan it. You cannot plan it. I always like to give myself an example. I never planned to come to Enugu. I came to Enugu the moment it was suggested was when I realized I should come to Enugu. I'd never thought about it before in my life. I had never thought about it. Listen, what is God looking for? That's what Solomon said. Fear God. Obey his commandments. That must be your step-by-step action plan. Where am I going after my business? After now, I don't know. But while I am here, I will fear God, obey his commandments. I will make sure that every act, he can judge it, and I will not be afraid. Why am I saying what I am saying? Like, now I'm a preacher. One prayer I pray all the time, God, please, let me not lie to people. I'm not kidding about it. You know, I found out that people act on what I say. No, you know, it's very frightening. A man has come to me before. He's about to go and propose to a woman. I asked a question. He gave me an answer. I said, don't do it. And that's it. He went back home. Because of his scent, that is. Are you getting my point? So if people take such actions based on what I say, I will die young if I don't tell them things the way I know them to be true. That's, I respect in quote, now, not serious respect, funny respect. Pastors who come to the pulpit and twist the scripture, the word of God, because they want to collect money from your pocket. I said, oh boy, if I were the devil, I would respect you. Because this guy, you are tough. No, you are tough. Because you are doing things that the devil can't do. You handle it. You know, honestly, sometimes my wife will look and say, she'll ask me, say, my husband, don't these people fear God? I heard of one man of God. I don't know who exactly. But they said one day, go to one church, finish preaching all these money things. At the end of the day, they gave him his cut. Usually a cut business, all right? So they gave him his cut, and he was going home. Then he heard either as an angel or the voice of the Lord asking whether he loves his wife and children. And he said yes. And he said if he wants to see them again, he's going to return the money. So he turned to the driver, please turn. Back to church where we are coming from. He said, pastor, take your money. Wait, don't worry about it. Just my spirit says I should leave. I should sew this one. Take. Yeah, exactly. Sew it into the project. I see that your project is a big project. Doesn't know he's saving his life. Say, take home. I cannot tell when you reach home, you hug your wife, you kiss your wife. Say, what's happening? Baby, I love you. She doesn't understand that. I want to say, you just had a brush with death. No, honestly, when I see such men, a lot of them are not born again. If they were born again, they are thoroughly backsliding. What am I trying to say? God does not want ambitious people. Solomon said, listen, we've gone through it. I said something earlier. Who's a wise man? It's a man who understands things. Are you getting my point? Let me give an example. The Bible says the wisdom makes the face of a wise man shine. So if you see a woman who's shouting, somebody goes and says, Kwele, and is smiling. He knows something you don't know. You understand the shout is a shout of labor pain. He has checked it. Everything is okay. He's making good progress. In the next 2 hours, 3 hours, she will have delivered. So he's not afraid. That's what is called wisdom. Wisdom makes his face what? Shine. He knows something other people don't know. That's how life is. Okay? But he's not saying that with all of that wisdom that you may have, it doesn't guarantee you anything. You can know the principles of business. It doesn't guarantee anything. The smartest people know that they don't have control of life. Aliko Dangote knows he can't control the business atmosphere. It's those who don't know who think that he can. Warren Buffett said most investments don't do well. That you just need one to do massively well. I told you that day when I was saying that invest wisely. Remember the 20 million naira investment? I hope you have forgotten the idea now. 20 million wisely, forget it. Shino Peters also invested many 20 millions. You don't know about it because it's lost. You don't know how many Jimovia invested. And there were many Jimovias that invested many 20 millions that committed suicide. You didn't hear about them. You get my point? That is wisdom, human wisdom that we're talking about, doesn't guarantee anything. He said the race is not to the swift. So, Christians, what do we do? He said, forget those wisdom things. I know how to plan. He said, anytime God keeps you somewhere, fear God. Obey his commandments. Make sure every act can be judged positively by him. Never do anything for ungodly reasons. I found out my experience over the last few years, two very important sins of mankind, selfishness and pride. Believe me, those are the most important sins of man I've seen around. Why they don't make progress. Selfishness and what? Pride. Don't do anything for selfish reasons. Don't be conceited. Don't be proud. Every action you are taking, make sure it is the best under those circumstances. Make sure it's the most righteous. Make sure it is the right thing to do. Sometimes it hurts you. That is, if you tell the truth, I told you the story of Strive Masiwa. They had a big lawsuit worth, I think, millions of dollars, breach of contract matter. They went for arbitration. Arbitration is not like a normal court case. In arbitration, they have a slightly different rule. One of the rules of the arbitration is that you had to disclose everything. You couldn't lie. So every document related to the case, you have to give to the panel. So one day, he was the one suing. Econet was the one suing. So one day, his men showed him one of the emails that he had forgotten. They said, do we tender the email? Ah, he looked. If the panel sees the mail, they've lost the case. Strive has lost the case. Now, he knew he was right. At least that's what he thought. He said, but this email will go against me. So his lawyer said, what do we do? He said, let me think. He finished thinking. He said, if it's the truth, present it. Let's leave our case to God. So they sent the email in. Of course, your opponent will get a copy. By the time those ones saw it, a strange thing happened. They filed to withdraw their own defense, the opposition to this case. They said they are sorry. He said, till now, he doesn't know what happened. They paid the full amount he was suing for and withdrew the case and went home. Why they did it? When he was writing that, he said he didn't know why. But why did he do it? He said, this is the right thing to do. Please, don't run away with the testimony that he still won the case, even though he did it. I want you to know, many times you will do it, you will lose because of it. Yeah. But God is not judging whether you lost or you won. He's judging whether you were right in what you did. The man was willing to lose for righteousness' sake. Now, he was given many reasons that maybe those people felt that, these men are so honest, let's pay them. Or, if they release this one, the other things they will release later. He doesn't know. All he just knows is that they came next time for the meeting, the other panel apologized, the other party apologized, withdrew the case, paid what they asked them to pay, and the case closed. But what I want you to know is that the man did what was right, even when he thought it was going to hurt him. You can read this on his blog, Strive Masiwa. Fear God. Tell your neighbor, fear God.
Fear God.
Obey his commandments.
That's the whole duty.
Listen, there's no wisdom. 17 keys for effective breakthrough. If the keys, listen. Let me just say this like this. Many Christians don't understand it, but let me say it like this. Don't pursue results in your life. Pursue doing what is right.
Yeah.
Results is a gift of God. Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
Let me say it again. Forget about pursuing what is right. There are no 10 keys to make it in 2 years. MMM will fail you. And I hope many people are here that it failed. It was good that it failed you, lest you put your hope in a bad thing. My wife was telling me about somebody she met, that the woman said that she got money from MMM 3 times. The 4th time, she invested more than she got. And you know what you start saying? Oh, if she had known. It's not wisdom that's making you talk like that. You can never know. Once you have a spirit that is drinking free money, that same spirit will vomit all of it in one day with extra. Naso. It's true. You must hate quick gain. You must hate it. The concept of that you just put in 1 naira and get 10,000, you don't like it. When they bring it to you, say that kind of money is dirty, it's poisonous, I don't want it. Say it works, I say I don't care. One of my brothers the other day we were talking about shares and all of that. He said, I don't buy, let me not mention it, a particular bank. Said they pay good dividends. They are doing very well. So why don't you buy it? Said they make money in a way that defies my conscience. Shares. But because he gets involved in the origin of it, he said, this way these people make money defies my conscience. I won't buy their shares. He used to have their shares. He sold everything off. Said, I don't want. Don't pay me dividends from this kind of money. Fear God. Obey his commandments. What's the summary? Let me just end. I need to add this one to it. Solomon spoke under the sun, and he came to a conclusion looking at life under the sun. Fear God, obey his commandments. Make sure each thing you do, the hidden reasons can be examined by God, and you'll be judged righteous. But this is a fact about life. We have left Solomon now. We're just adding something to it. It is not of him that wills. It is not of him that runs. It is of God who shows mercy. What we do all the time is commend our conscience to God. Time and chance is the earthly interpretation of the mercy of God. Are you getting my point? What looks like time and chance is actually God commanding blessings. And it is God that will command his blessings into your life. I hope you've gotten my point. I hope Ecclesiastes chapter 1 to chapter 12, I hope it's all clear now. I think I've spoken enough. Apostle, what do you think? Let's give the Lord thanks. Let's thank the Lord. Let's bow our eyes and just give him thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. Let's give him thanks. Let's just give the Lord thanks. Thank you for everything Solomon taught. Most importantly, thank you for the mercy that you have in Christ Jesus. Thank you for the mercy that you have received in Christ Jesus. I always like to tell Christians, you have been forgiven. All things have passed away out of your life. All your sins have been forgiven. The mercy of God is working in your life. That mercy will take you to a great place, greater than you could ever have planned. Thank you for that mercy. Father, we give you thanks. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed.